This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. I'm Jessica Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus. Hey, Dr. Ken.
What? What do you want? I've always thought, what am I going to say? Like, hey, you're bothering me.
Yeah. No, hey, I want to, knock, knock. Hi. Here I am again, needy.
Yes, you are. Yeah, well.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit today, again, about your new book that's going to be released on November 5th of 2024.
That's right.
Called Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, and I'm excited about
second
a little
edition.
More.
Yes.
Second edition. Yes. It has good information. I've read, got to preview it, but I'm looking forward to having that paper copy. And if you, the listener, are also excited about having that paper copy, you can go ahead and pre-order it, and Amazon will ship it to you, so you get it on the day of the release. Isn't that so great?
Sweetheart. Yes.
Yes. So I did that. I love it. I'm excited. And every time I get on my Amazon card, it tells me it's coming. So have to wait. Yeah. We've already talked about the culture and how it influences us as parents and the way that we think of our teenagers, the way that we raise our teenagers. But we can do some things in our own home that kind of correct what our culture is telling us about teenagers.
That's right.
And how do we do this?
Well, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, if you really get it that you're living in a culture without grown-ups, as you mentioned, I think before, you know, nobody wants to be a grown-up per se. Mm-hmm. Nobody feels like a grown-up. It's almost like we're all thinking about who's that grown-up that's oppressing us. We need to stop. Well, it's us, and grown-up is not a bad thing. Then if you really get that, then you begin to think about, well, then what can I do about this? And that's really the key of this whole book, that if you've already heard this and you're tired of it, well, good for you, because it's the most misunderstood thing. And that's in the book. And it's to do something about this, you kind of implement a cultural shift in your home and maybe in a group of other homes and your church, if you can. And that cultural shift is what I call planned emancipation. And it is an important shift that, instead of putting adulthood at the fictional end in some later date, planned emancipation is when you start adulthood, which is around 13, by announcing that to us, those of us that know you, your parents in this house, you're a young adult. You're not an old child. And you basically look for lots of opportunities to both demonstrate that in how you deal with them, but more than that, also how you talk with them. You really let them, don't let them forget that you are an adult on our side of the fence. You're now one of us. And for those parents that still think, what does that mean? Give them an apartment and keys to their own car? No, it is a graduated release because in this culture at 13, you're not actually still ready to function as an adult. But there were cultures for centuries that you were, that women particularly were married and, you know, pregnant by 13, 14, 15. Men, young boys were, young men were out there working with the other men. So, but the only difference is we're not quite ready for that, but the message needs to be, but you're getting there.
Well, I think you hit it on the nail on the head when you said in your book When will you consider your adolescent an adult? That is, when will you say he or she deserves all the rights and privileges of an adult just like you?
That's
and I
right.
think that's an interesting question to ask ourselves, because truthfully, I think most of our community would say, oh, maybe 18. But then I think we also kind of stretch it to 22 or 23 whenever they're out of college.
Yes.
You know, that then they're an adult. And we're actually pushing it farther and farther and farther off.
That's exactly right.
Instead of recognizing them as adults.
But what if they're 22 and 23, but they have an anxiety problem, or they just lost their job, or then, you know, does that change it? It cannot change the status that, no, you're an adult. It doesn't mean we don't have anything to do with our young adults. Matter of fact, in my experience, an overpressing of my parenting role on young adults is one of the most common reasons why adults don't want to have much to do with their own parents. They're in fact pushing them away. So when you ask that question, when will you say that your teenager is fully an adult? A lot of times as a parent, you might ask yourself, when did you get that from your parents? And sometimes the answer is, well, still not. If politics comes up, my dad's got to talk to me like I don't know anything, or, you know, that you can giving mm-hmm. this is oftentimes in our culture, giving a gift that you may not have received yourself.
Well, I think often too, it's, well, when they start acting like an adult, I'll treat them like an adult.
Yes.
And so it's never quite enough, right? The parent is never quite satisfied with the kid, or, you know, quite frankly, a real adult being the adult. They don't want them to make the decisions anymore. So I want you to explain your theory of planned emancipation to us again, because I know we've heard it, but it's not quite about earning.
Yeah, that's the most common thing. That's right. The practice of planned emancipation is the progression of increasing freedoms until their choices are their choices, and you make sure they know that. What is most commonly mixed up with is the practice that is a good practice of parents with children. And that is, if you show me that you can handle this thing, I will let you do it more and more on your own. Mommy, I can go get the cereal. And, you know, okay, you, I tell you what, if you get these things, don't get the Frosted Flakes, but then you can go do that and come back, and that's great. And they come back. Good for you. This is all part of developing responsibility, if you will, of developing increased individual action. They can take care of things themselves. But planned emancipation is not that. It is, by this point, you're preparing them for adulthood. It is like a clock that now goes on the wall in your living room, an invisible clock, one of those countdown clocks that is set for the day of their graduation from high school. That in our culture, especially in American culture, no matter how much you hope for, they must be pretty much ready to make their own decisions by that point. Because after that point, you really don't have the power to make them follow your rules. And parents discover that at their peril. So you must announce in advance that you're going to get there. And freedoms are not the same thing as positive feedback, letting you do more things yourself. Freedom is actually something you don't give. It's something you recognize. One of the early ones you follow me so far before I go into examples. Is that right? Like, let me clarify all the time. Yeah.
You can't earn it. It's given at certain times, whether you're ready for it or not, or whether you think your kid is ready for it or not, not necessarily because they've shown that they're ready to prove themselves, but just because it's time. And it's done with, you know, the idea that the clock is ticking down. And so whether you like it or not, they're going to be out of your house. They're going to be able to make the choices they want to make. And so to give them, to recognize these freedoms is just part of the way it goes. It's just part of the progression of letting the control go from your side to their side.
Because that's the culture that we're in. You can walk into a bar and order alcohol in this country. After a certain date, you don't have to earn your right to do it. You don't have to pass a test. You just turn 21. You can vote in an election, and you definitely don't have to take a test for that. There's a lot of bad history with all that kind of thing because your driver's license says you are this age. To prepare your young adults for this culture, you cannot continue to pretend like you have the power to withhold that freedom until you've earned it. You are kidding yourself. By 17, and we're in Texas, by 17, this kid of yours can walk out of your house and not live with you anymore. If they can figure out a way to do it, there's nothing you can do about that. And by 18, you definitely can't. And so you have to prepare for them managing themselves at that stage. So yeah, it is not the same thing. What, again, the easiest example among many is listening to the music that your teenager wants to listen to. You are now at a point in this technology that, with really no exception that I know of, your teenager has that freedom to do it. They can listen to whatever music they want, whether you approve or not. The difference is, will they continually see their own choices about this as this is not what my parents want, rather than begin to think about what do they want? And the power is recognizing that freedom and this is important, boldly announcing, hey, by the way, at this point, as you know, that's between you and God, what you listen to on your own headphones. Can I ask you about this? And then talk about that. That's powerful. Continuing to say, oh, no, we don't let our sweet 14, 15-year-old listen to anything but Christian music is just weak and looks silly. If your kid is, in fact, for some reason, obeying that just because you said so at 15, that's a weak kid. Like, it's like, why are you not already beginning to look at this for yourself? It does not prepare. So planned emancipation is recognizing the freedom that isn't given more and more that your adolescents have in their own life. And getting ahead of that, letting them know you are for it, and then being able to communicate about it. You don't earn freedoms. They just come to you.
So you were mentioning, what if you have a kid that's fairly, let's say, compliant? You said weak, but sometimes it's kids' preference. But, they're kind of compliant. They're going with, let's use the music example. They're going with the Christian music because that's what you've raised them on. They've never listened to anything else. Do you then say, hey, you could listen to this trash rap stuff over here if you want, or do you give them all the options, or do you just let it go, let it slide?
Yeah, that's a great example because it again, what's implied in your question is, what if we have an exceptional kid that this whole adult thing can just go by and they never noticed it? I would argue that what's important that we don't have in our culture is, this kid doesn't need to be mainly protected from music. They must be prepared for adulthood. And that is done by clearly transferring. Of course, you may have a kid that only likes listening to Christian music. If you want them to stay that way, then announce, by the way, I think it's great that's what you're into, because we love that for you. And we know that you're too old for us to make you listen to what we think you should. It's really weird to me that parents might still think, isn't that going to signal to an adolescent that, boy, I never thought about listening to trash, but once my parents told me they can't keep me from it, there's no teenager like that. That comes up even with grades. Well, if we don't continually demand straight A's, then aren't they going to think that A's aren't important? No, it's not a 7-year-old. These are young adults that are aware of stuff. So it's simply impossible for a teenager to tell the story in their 30s that I used to be godly and only listen to godly music, but my parents made the mistake of pointing out to me that I have my own choice, and that's why I'm now doing heroin and playing in a rock band. That's just not a real story.
So the problem is, and this is what every parent's thinking, these sorts of freedoms allowing or not allowing, recognizing these sorts of freedoms can sometimes be an annoyance or a burden to us, because then we also watch our kids suffer the consequences, or we have to pay for it in some way. Let's say, let's use the example back with music, because that's a simple one. But, you know, you're listening to the music, your kid is listening to music that you don't like, and it's loud and it's upstairs, and you're thinking, I don't even want this stuff in my house.
Right.
I think it's trash. Or, you know, they want to play it in your car when you're driving somewhere. Do you have to listen to it? How do you handle that situation?
Yeah, because so you mentioned two things. One, it can be a burden on the parent when they watch the consequences happen to their kid. That's true. And that mm-hmm. needs to happen. Consequences, real life consequences. You know, I, as you know, I recommend early on, if you can, leave cleaning your room to your teenager mm-hmm. because the natural consequences of a dirty room are never going to kill anyone. I've been doing it 35 years, no deaths yet. And yet, the first time of I can't find my assignment in this messy room and you going, yeah, you might get a shovel, dude. I don't know what you're going to do is an important lesson for a young adult. The other thing, though, that you mentioned is, but what about their freedoms? I hate the loud music that's coming out of their room. I've had parents tell me that, you know, they don't like Thursdays because that's the day that is his choice of music and I don't like listening to it. That to me surprises me. That's just entitlement. With freedom always comes boundaries. The boundaries are not about how you should behave, but they're about us. So your music, as long as it's in your headphones, should be up to you. But I don't want to hear it. And I certainly don't want your little sister to hear it. That's boundaries about respecting the rest of us. And most all teenagers get that. It's really weird for me when some teenagers actually will demand that, hey, you said I can listen to whatever. How come you let my little sister listen to Disney songs on the way to school on Tuesday, but you don't let me listen to my rap on because I hate your music and you need to get your own dang car when you get old enough, but you're an adult, not eight. And it's not, you know, those are messages that your freedoms do not have to cost us. And that should be easy. And again, like I say, I have most every teenager gets that. Like, hey, you know, they don't want you to, they wish you would clean your room, but you're too old. But you do know that when you bring food in your room, ants come in. Most teenagers get that. But the occasional one that actually still complains and has parents that are like, well, that's a good point. You know, if you need to listen through it through my good speakers in my car, that's not a good point at all. With freedom always comes boundaries. There are limits to that freedom where it steps on our toes.
Well, I think that's good lessons for future roommates and future spouses and
yes.
living in community. I mean, it's just the way it is. You can listen to whatever music you want, but if it's disruptive to your neighbors, you're going to have a police officer show up at your door and ask you to turn it down.
That's a very good point. And I really do worry. I don't want to overdo this, but I do worry the stories I hear from kids that I see that are going to college is, it seems to me, an increased percentage of people rooming with people that don't know anything about how to be with other people. They, mm-hmm. you know, they want to be left alone and quiet. They want to have a girl in their room without any regard for that. These aren't people that are living a different lifestyle. They've never had to deal with, you know, really how to live with other people and what their needs are.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So when we give our kids freedom, let's use the example of grades. You know, your kid is maybe going into ninth grade and you say, okay, now your grades are up to you and your dad and I won't be checking in on them anymore.
Right.
And asking you if you finished your homework, that sort of thing.
Right.
There are some certain boundaries we have as far as the limits go, because we put you in a, let's say, a private school or something. And we have,
right.
we have some say so there, but you know, do we just lose all influence? That's what the parents are really wondering is,
yeah.
if I can't talk to my, you know, if my kid has this freedom, whether it's music or whether it's grades or any of the other things we've discussed, I'm giving up my influence and they're just going to do whatever they want and it's going to be a terrible failure. That's what I'm thinking as a parent.
Well, and your school example is a good one, because as the Christian parents watching know, the primary thing for children to learn is to do well in school. That's the first commandment. No, wait a minute. It's not even that important in our religion, but school tends to be huge. And in that example, most commonly, your first thing to look at giving up And you can tell when your teenager is like, when you just ask a simple question, do you have much homework this week? No, I'm fine. You're like, okay, Mr. Touchy. Apparently you're in a, you are feeling like a young adult. So as long as you keep your grades to a minimum, you can choose how you want to handle school for yourself. That's a freedom you can give pretty early. The minimum grades, like you mentioned, can be a little higher if it's a private school. But, you know, so in other words, you don't lose all accountability. However, the biggest thing there is in that example, where you're still expecting minimum grades, but I'm not doing the asking, checking, and whatever. The thing that parents need to know is that that increases your influence. Instead of still trying to hang on to, and I can tell you a thousand stories of parents that are creatively, you know, buying office supplies and bringing in videos of organizational managers, all these things to say, I'm just trying to help you. I know you don't want me to, but I'm going to help you. That is just incredibly ineffective. So then you've got a kid who's failing, but also hates your guts, and you've not accomplished anything. The opposite is to examine how much of this is, and it probably is very much about, not that I want to fail my grades, but I want to know, when is it my schooling? When is it up to me? When is how I handle schooling up my choice? Give that over, and then you can communicate. And that's the most common thing parents, because maybe they never had this from their own parents, but they don't really recognize the power of, when you are not a cop and monitoring all this stuff, kids can be much more open in talking to you about, yeah, I don't think I'm doing very well this semester. That's what I thought. What do you think is going on? Rather than, I'm fine. It's going great. You don't need to know anything. That defensiveness is weak. So it increases your effectiveness by recognizing your lack of real power in controlling it, but making sure that your teenager feels that ownership. You can do much more influence in communicating. We have a whole bunch in the book about communicating both what are the problems, but also how you can improve that. But that all starts with planned emancipation, by first off taking out that barrier of, oh, I think you're talking to me about this because you still think I'm an 8-year-old and you think you know everything. No, wait, wait, wait. No, that's not what we're doing. That's up to you. And that freedom increases your impact and your ability to influence.
Well, and we're saying again that freedom is just, you're recognizing what's already there. You cannot strong arm your kid into paying attention to the teacher in class, and you can't make your kid do well on the test. They could just turn it in with nothing. I mean, there's just no way to actually control that, right?
And so even if you have teachers that are emailing you and talking like we can, which is part of our confused culture, mm-hmm. when you get that email of, you know, we want to be a team to help your senior, whatever, a lot of parents need to go, look, I don't know what your plan is, but, you know, my daughter is having to deal with this stuff herself. I don't know that we can make her. Sometimes you actually have to remind other people about this.
Mm-hmm. That I have very little control here. This is actually my kid's realm of influence.
Exactly.
And I'm respecting that. So, Dr. Ken, this is kind of the key to everything that we talk about, is this planned emancipation. And this is an episode that I've been excited to record, because I think it reminds us once again, even if we've heard it before, or for new listeners who haven't heard it at all, it's kind of mind-blowing. This was the very issue that, when I read your first book, was like, oh my goodness, I get this now. Because up to that point, it had been all about my kids earning their privileges, earning their freedoms, that sort of thing that you've proved yourself. And so I'm going to give it to you now. And when I realized, hey, you know what? This clock is ticking, whether I like it or not. And I have just so many hours, so many days with them. I better start getting them on the fast track. And I had to do a little
starting at about 13. That's right.
Yes.
That's
right. So for parents who have, let's say, a 15, 16-year-old, and they're realizing right now, oh my goodness, I'm so far behind. I'm still checking my kids' homework and making sure they did it every day. I'm still, you know, on them about what kind of music they're playing, that sort of thing. And they're realizing, this is, they're 16. I should be at a different place, shouldn't I? What do you do then to catch up?
So when the book comes out, you look at appendix, I think 3, which is the way to ideally start planned emancipation if they're 13, and what to do if you're starting late. And it essentially, I have a little speech I recommend parents give, which is, we read this book, we talked to the shrink, whatever, and we're worried that our helping you is feeling to you like we think you're a kid. And we're sorry about that. We don't want that to be that way because you are a young adult. And so starting at this point, and then you need to clarify some things. A freedoms list is very helpful in that, is clarifying, here's the deal, and lay that out. And don't be afraid to tell them that, you know, we're sorry if this has come across this way. You're not looking for absolution from your teenager, but you are definitely wanting to make a clear break that we were coming across as if we saw you as a child without realizing it. And we want to start right now letting you know you are not a child. We wish you were. It'd be more fun that way, but you're not. You're a young adult. We recognize you have that power, and we're going to start respecting that, including you taking the impact of your own choices more and more, because that's a good thing. So it's a little speech, but you can start today. It's not like, oh, mm-hmm. No, I can't get those years back. That's all right. Start right now.
Okay. And then for those parents, too, when you realize, okay, I gave my kid these freedoms, but I see that I'm still nagging and asking questions and really on them about this stuff. Because it kind of feels wrong sometimes, you know, that you're not asking your kids about their homework, or that, you know, that you're not commenting on their music, that sort of thing. So what do we do as parents when we realize we've kind of creeping that way of trying to control it again? How do we back off? And do we say anything to our kids, or do we just back off?
So that's in the communication part about advice giving, because if you've really given over that freedom and you find yourself still talking as if you don't, then ironically, you know, parents that their kids are super defensive feel like they have to bite their tongue and they can't say anything. Once you've given over that freedom, you just change the thing that you say from, well, I don't think you studied enough, I can't imagine that you're ready for that, to, hey, I hate to tell you this because it's your deal, it's not my problem. I mean, but I'm really fearful that you're going out again this weekend and you haven't studied for your test, but it's just me. There's a way to talk about it that actually you don't have to bite your tongue. You just own it and talk about the fact that it's my fear. Listen, one of the big ones is by senior year, we're really trying to give over all things academic to them, even without minimum grades. But then suddenly comes, for many parents, college applications, which are a remarkably dead in the water project that seniors are often, I don't know what to do. And parents are stuck with the, so we had to take over like an 8-year-old. That's not good. The option is going, hey, I hate to keep reminding you, but have you done anything with those? Have you even looked at the college's webpage? And just own it and be a concerned and helpful adult along with your adult who is, you know, your young adult teenager. Just talk about yourself, but you can say more really than what too many parents feel like. Well, I can't say anything. Yeah, you can. Just talk about yourself, your own fear. I did that with my kids all the time. Hey, I'm a shrink. Mm-hmm. I know I worry too much, but, and you know, they would just roll their eyes, but I think they heard more what I was saying than if I had come in as if, look, let's just talk today as if you never got to be an adult. Let's go back to childhood. They don't hear you.
Well, this conversation is especially helpful to me because I have a 13-year-old and I also have a 17-year-old that's going to turn 18 next month and graduate in the spring. So I am on both ends of this. I have the beginning and I, you know, love the anticipation of what's to come. And then the end of, oh, I'm wrapping up my parenting journey here with her in my house. So
that's right.
You know, it's a very interesting bookends here right now. But thank you, Dr. Ken, for clarifying once again what planned emancipation is and how it changes our parenting. Thanks. Thank you for listening today. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com. If you enjoy this podcast, would you mind leaving us a review? This is how others find our podcast.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.